The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host and their guests, and not those of W4CS Radio, its employees, or affiliates. W4CS makes no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for listening to the Cancer Support Network on W4CS.com. Any health-related information on the following show provides general information only. Content presented on any show by any host or guest should not be substituted for a doctor's advice. Always consult your physician before beginning any new diet, exercise, or treatment program.
And welcome to 5 to Thrive Live. I am Carolyn Gazella, the host of tonight's show, and we have a very important topic that we're going to be covering tonight, and that is how to cope with grief and loss. But before I introduce you to our guest, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the sponsors of our show, who are Natural Health International, Tomorrow's Nutrition, Cetria Glutathione, and Cognizant Citicoline. We appreciate our sponsors very much. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know that I co-host this show with my good friend and co-author, Dr. Lise Ulschuler, and we are the authors of two books on the topic of cancer. If you'd like more information about our books and our show and about us, you can visit our website, 5tothriveplan.com. That's all spelled out, 5tothriveplan.com. I also want to remind you that we are live and we're taking your questions tonight, so you can either call us at 561-623-9427 or just type your question into the chat room. We're going to be monitoring that chat room throughout the show, and the chat room is located in the bottom right-hand corner. Just click on that, and it is completely anonymous, so you can go ahead and ask your question. So I want to read a quote from one of my favorite authors, Anne Lamott, and here is what Anne writes. You will lose someone you can't live without, and your heart will be badly broken. And the bad news is that you never completely get over the loss of your beloved. But this is also the good news. They live forever in your broken heart that doesn't seal back up. And you come through. It's like having a broken leg that never heals perfectly, that still hurts when the weather gets cold, but you learn to dance with the limp. Our guest tonight has some advice for us on this difficult topic. She's been a guest on the show before, and we're happy to have her back. Joyce Martyr is a licensed clinical professional counselor and the owner of Urban Balance, a counseling practice with more than 40 therapists in 5 locations in the Chicagoland area. Joyce received her master's degree in counseling psychology from Northwestern University, and she currently serves as the vice president of the board of the Illinois Mental Health Counselors Association. Joyce, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, for having me. I do agree that this is such an important topic.
It is. And I have to tell you, I did not realize that Urban Balance was so big. I mean, wow, 5 locations, 40 therapists. Congratulations on doing such a wonderful job and helping people in the Chicagoland area. That's just great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I think we all can benefit from therapy at different points in our lives, and I see it as something healthy and normal and proactive and preventative.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I personally have been helped a lot. And what I'd like to do is maybe start with something very, very basic, and that is, what actually is grief? I mean, can we define it?
Absolutely. I think often many people only associate grief with death and dying, and maybe forget to realize that grief is actually sorrow or any kind of mental suffering related to any loss we experience. So it can be the loss of a friendship, the loss of a job, or even the loss of our health.
And now, how does grief differ from depression? Or does it differ, or do they go hand in hand? Or, I mean, what's the connection there?
Well, it's a little bit of a chicken and egg situation. They do go hand in hand and they do fuel off of one another. And it is difficult sometimes to differentiate. But grief is directly in response to loss. And depression may be triggered by other events in life. And sometimes people deal with clinical depression and others may be dealing with simply grief.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, in my particular case, and some of our listeners know my story, but my story began when my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then we lost our mom to advanced pancreatic cancer, and then I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and that all took place within 8 months. So basically, when I was diagnosed, we had only lost our mom less than 3 months prior to my diagnosis. So I was still very much in the throes of the grieving process, grieving my mom, who was, you know, my best friend, grieving her loss. And then I, of course, became clinically depressed as a result of the loss and then my diagnosis. And obviously, it was a very challenging time. So with my particular case, it was very specific to cancer. And I'm wondering, in your practice, how prevalent is grief associated with cancer survivors or loved ones of people who have passed?
Unfortunately, it's extremely common, Carolyn. Your story is so unbelievable. It must have been so overwhelming. I really can't imagine what you and your family went through. And unfortunately, we do hear similar stories quite often. And I think none of us goes untouched by cancer. I think all of us have loved ones and family members and friends, or perhaps ourselves, that have dealt with a cancer diagnosis. And in a general counseling practice, cancer issues are a very common presenting issue. So we see it very, very frequently.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the interesting too, Joyce, in my particular case, this happened years later, but with my ovarian cancer, I had a complete hysterectomy and I had just turned 33 and I was not able to have children as a result of that surgery. And at the time, of course, I was just kind of fighting for my life and it didn't strike me. But years later, I went through a grieving process. You could say that I was grieving the loss of my uterus, but certainly I was grieving the loss of my ability to have children. And of course I'm alive and well and everything else. And yet I went through that grieving. So I'm wondering if you find that with a person who's survived cancer and yet they still have different grieving steps that they go through.
Absolutely. There's many different layers and to your story that completely makes sense that primarily you were fighting for your life. And then later when you had the time and resources, we're dealing with the loss of your fertility, which is an enormous loss. And yes, we do see people process their grief at different times and in different ways, you know, whether it's the loss of their breasts through a mastectomy or the loss of certain physical functioning. Sometimes it's just too overwhelming to process all of that loss at once. So down the road, you're left processing whatever you didn't previously.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's not like there's a right and a wrong way and there's a good way and a bad way. And you know, I definitely want to get your advice about how we can manage our grief and go through our grief. But I'm just curious, are there dangers if we don't address our grief? I mean, let's just say we stick our head in the sand and we say, nope, I'm not grieving. And are there dangers in that kind of denial?
Yes, absolutely. There are very real emotional, relational, and physical dangers to not addressing the grief you or your loved one may be experiencing. I really believe that the mind-body connection is very powerful, and the negative feelings that accompany grief, such as sadness or anger and fear, can cause anxiety or depression, as you said, or interpersonal problems like disconnection or conflict, and even worsened physical health if left unaddressed.
Yeah, that's so true. I had a therapist tell me, you know what, Carolyn, you can either deal with things now or deal with them later, but you will need to deal with them at some point. And she was absolutely correct.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, grief is something that that every cancer survivor is going to experience, and or whether you're a cancer survivor or you're a loved one of somebody with cancer, the grief is really related to the loss of the life that they thought that they would have without cancer. So it's a lot to process, and processing the grief can really also provide some additional benefits, including increased consciousness and deeper intimacy in relationships and improved physical health.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, you know what? It's time for our first quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with clinical counselor Joyce Martyr. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Interested in boosting your brain power? So am I. This is Carolyn Gazella, co-host of 5 to Thrive Live, and I'm here to tell you about a supplement that I take. The human brain needs a lot of nutrition to stay focused throughout the day. Citicoline naturally enhances energy-producing centers within the brain. Cognizin delivers a clinically tested, patented form of citicoline that supplies your brain with the energy it needs to stay sharp. Look for Cognizin on the label, or for more information, visit Cognizin.com. That's Cognizin.com.
We are constantly being bombarded by toxins in the air we breathe, water we drink, and even the foods we eat. So what's the answer? Glutathione. It's inside every cell in your body and protects you from the damage of oxidative stress and toxins. There is a special patented form of glutathione that is superior, called Cetria. Cetria is pure, vegetarian, and allergen-free. Help replenish your body's reserves of this very important nutrient, detoxified a natural way. Visit CetriaGlutathione.com. That's CetriaGlutathione.com.
Green tea is good for us. It's a key part of the 5 to Thrive plan. What if you don't care for the taste of green tea? And with so many green tea supplements, how do you choose? No one wants to waste their money on a poor quality product, and I know I want organic to avoid the harmful toxins. That's why you should choose Sunfinen. Sunfinen from Tomorrow's Nutrition gives you the highest quality green tea possible, and they offer 100% satisfaction guarantee. They have confidence in the quality of all their products. As a special offer to 5 to Thrive listeners, Tomorrow's Nutrition will give you 20% off your order. Go to tomorrowsnutrition.com and type in the code 5 to Thrive when you check out, and you'll automatically receive 20% off your order. Get quality. Get results. Get Sunfinen Green Tea from Tomorrow's Nutrition. That's tomorrowsnutrition.com. And don't forget to type in the code 5 to Thrive to get 20% off your order.
Live. If you've just joined us, my name is Carolyn Gazella, tonight's host, and my guest is Joyce Martyr, who is the owner of Urban Balance, a counseling practice with 5 locations in the Chicago area. I want to remind you that we are taking your questions tonight, so you can call us at 561-623-9427 or just type your question into the chat room. Now, Joyce, we touched a little bit on this before the break, but can you describe some of the losses that cancer survivors experience, and maybe some of the points at which they may experience grief? What are you seeing in your clinical practice?
Well, again, I feel like the overarching loss that people experience is the loss of what their life would have been without cancer. And it's very common for people to experience the loss of time, whether it simply be due to the amount of time that treatments take, or due to perhaps the shortening of their life. People often deal with the loss of functioning, maybe being able to work or tend for the home or family or relationships in the way that they used to. Survivors often experience physical losses, like you mentioned, the loss of fertility or the loss of breasts or the loss of sexual functioning or bowel control or taste, etc. Sometimes people experience cognitive loss, such as memory problems or decision-making ability becomes impaired. And often in my practice, I hear about people talking about the loss of looking healthy. I have a close friend with stage 4 cancer who is still absolutely gorgeous, but she's dealing with simple losses like the loss of her eyelashes or her eyebrows due to chemo or changes in her skin that are the result of hormone treatments that have caused premature aging. I have a client who's dealing with stage 3 colon cancer, and he has been this big strapping athlete his whole life, and he has lost a considerable amount of weight and is wearing a bag and dealing with a huge loss in terms of how he appears physically.
Yeah, it is amazing, the physical functioning, the way you look, and it is interesting because you mentioned something like eyebrows, and I remember when my sister was going through her chemotherapy. And it was just so surprising to her, and she was just so, you know, it seems small, but it really made her sad, you know, that she looked so different.
Absolutely. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's a real loss.
Yeah.
And it's depressing.
And is it when you're experiencing it, is it a matter of, you know, the first step is recognizing the feeling that you're having?
Yes, it's really important to honor your feelings and just be aware of them. Recognize what you're feeling in your heart and in your body and in your mind. And don't judge or rationalize those feelings away. You know, feelings are normal responses to everything that we go through. They're like waves of energy. And we really need to work at just understanding that whatever feelings we're having are a normal and natural part of our journey.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Well, I want to talk about symptoms. Are there symptoms of grief? And if there are symptoms, you know, how important is it that we are aware of those symptoms, either in ourselves or someone that we love?
Well, it's extremely important to recognize those symptoms so that they don't go unaddressed and wreak havoc on your life. I definitely recommend completing a grief checklist online. There's a good one at caregiverslibrary.org. They have a list of checklists and forms, and one of them is called Are You Grieving? And this inventory lists a whole bunch of symptoms of grief and has them broken down into physical, behavioral, emotional, and cognitive symptoms. Some physical symptoms, it's important to note that these, you know, they need to be unrelated to the cancer diagnosis or treatment, but they might include appetite changes, nausea, diarrhea, or indigestion, feeling weak or faint, general achiness or headaches. There are behavioral characteristics such as inability to make decisions or lack of motivation, forgetfulness, insomnia or oversleeping, sometimes, you know, the urge to cry or an unexpected crying jag, and isolating yourself from others. And there are emotional symptoms, you know, not surprisingly, sadness, anxiety, powerlessness is a very common feeling that people experience when dealing with cancer. And sometimes people experience guilt or even anger. You mentioned earlier, denial is a common thought pattern that can come up that can be a symptom of grief, or even simply just yearning for the good times. Those are all symptoms that somebody may be grieving.
Yeah, that's really good. So there's physical, behavioral, emotional, and we'll post this on our Facebook page, but it's caregiverslibrary.org. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
For the checklist. Okay, great. Because that's a really nice tool because, you know, you can't always tell, you know, if you are struggling. And I think that this is a great way to kind of, you know, see if – and is it possible to go in there and do the checklist for a family member or a loved one? Or do you have to be the person – experiencing it in order to do the checklist? I'm just kind of curious.
you could certainly complete it for a loved one. And if you're concerned that a loved one is grieving and maybe not dealing with them, you know, I'd encourage you to talk to them and perhaps look at the checklist together and say, hey, you know, I found this online and I'm concerned that, you know, this is a normal thing that people go through and I want to support you. And let's look at this together and see if you're dealing with any of these symptoms.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to talk about, you know, loved ones. If a loved one is concerned about the survivor's grief and the grieving process. So what can happen sometimes is a loved one will, you know, approach the grieving person and the grieving person will be like, I'm fine. Just leave me alone and it's nothing. And, you know, so, how do you address, if you're the loved one, how do you address that kind of attitude in the grieving person?
Yes, it's really important to be aware that denial and defensiveness are going to be there, and that the person may say, you know, I'm not feeling this way, or I'm okay, I'm fine, and that's a natural and normal response. So just, you know, letting them know that you're there, perhaps encouraging them to talk with their doctor or therapist or even spiritual advisor, or offering to go with them or offer whatever support they need, maybe to find a support group or something else that will give them some advocacy.
Are there danger signs that we should be aware of in our loved one who's grieving to say, this is now really gone into a bad direction here?
Yes, absolutely. If they're isolating, if you see major shifts in personality, or a marked decrease in functioning or change in functioning or increased irritability or anger. I know when I lost my mother to brain cancer, when I was grieving, I would sometimes notice that I was snapping at my kids and I would think, what the heck is going on with me? And then I would realize it was the grief. It's not always conscious that that's what we're expressing, but it's important to be aware that it's a possibility that grief is something that accompanies cancer.
Yeah, it's so true. And before we get into some of your practical advice, are there rules like, you know, oh gosh, it's going to take X amount of time to, you know, go through this and the, you know, there's these phases and this is going to take this, or is it really just so individualized?
It's so individualized. I think sometimes people look for those rules, like, am I going to feel better in 3 months? And
yeah,
it's different for all of us. And grief just ebbs and flows. And there may be little rhyme or reason to when it occurs. You may be hit by it unexpectedly. And you need to remember that those feelings are a normal part of the process. You had asked earlier about different points when the cancer survivors may experience grief. And I think that, you know, there are definitely certain points where people are more likely to experience grief. For example, at the time of diagnosis, at the start of treatment, or if there's a change in treatment, after getting disappointing or difficult news, after experiencing negative symptoms like the loss of hair or loss of functioning or capability, or certainly when entering the phase of end of life. And it's important to note that feelings of grief might be triggered by an event, such as missing your kid's school event due to a treatment, or an anniversary, perhaps the anniversary of your diagnosis or a surgery. And holidays can be really difficult because you might not be in the mood or even capable of celebrating as you used to.
Yeah, it's so true. Especially if the person, if you've lost a person and you have those anniversaries and those holidays and those reminders, it's interesting because it was 18 years in January since I lost my mom, and I still grieve that loss. I grieve it differently, and it's certainly not as intense as when it happened, but I still grieve her. And I'm wondering if, because sometimes I think, gosh, maybe I am supposed to just like let it go and not grieve that loss after a set amount of time. But then, of course, I realized that it's my process. And if it's going to be until the day that I die, that's how long it's going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that that's a very common experience for people to experience acute grief, you know, right when somebody passes, and then to deal with prolonged grief that kind of ebbs and flows for many, many years and perhaps for life.
Yeah. And it's kind of why I wanted to read that Anne Lamott quote, because it's not such a bad thing that I still think about my mom all the time. It's really kind of a cool thing that she's remained alive forever in my heart and soul. So I think that if I can look at that positively, I think that that's a really good thing.
I couldn't agree more. I think that I personally believe we're all dealt a different hand of hardships and blessings in our life, and it's hard to understand why cancer happens. But if we can process our grief, it can bring about tremendous blessings psychologically and spiritually. And it's important not to judge any feelings that we're having, but simply to honor them and express them and process them, like you said.
Yeah, it's so true. So I would like you to speak to the listener who is actually in the throes of grieving right now. What advice do you have for that person who's dealing with grief in this moment right now?
I mean, definitely to honor your feelings and recognize that they're waves of energy that you can surf. You can learn to kind of surf or ride them as they ebb and flow rather than becoming engulfed by them. They're a normal part of this process, and it will get easier. And express yourself verbally if you can to friends and family and doctors and therapists or your support group. And express yourself through writing or journaling or art or music or physical movement such as dance or exercise. I really believe also in the power of breath. I know it sounds so simple, but across many cultures, across thousands of years, people have said the breath is what ties together the mind, the body, and the spirit. And I truly believe if you can find a quiet place and breathe in and imagine you're breathing in what you need, whether it's serenity or peace or strength or health, and breathe out what you don't, whether it's fear, anxiety, stress, worry, or even cancer. All of that is really important. There's a great book that I recommend by one of my favorite authors, Melody Beattie. She wrote The Grief Club, The Secret to Getting Through All Kinds of Change. And in her book, she talks about cancer and chronic illness and really many other forms of loss that we all experience and how to successfully navigate through that process.
Right. So that's honoring feelings, expressing yourself, breathing. And then the book is The Grief Club. And the author's name again?
Melody Beattie, B-E-A-T-T-I-E.
Okay, perfect. I think I love the fact that you are talking about expression that doesn't necessarily have to be verbal. You know, you don't necessarily, because it can be very challenging to talk about, so, you know, talk about your grief, talk about your sadness, talk about how you're feeling. It can be very challenging. So the creative expressions that you've described are wonderful. I mean, even if someone likes to sew or knit or garden or, you know, planting some flowers in honor of the person who has passed. I mean, all of those creative expressions are great ways to honor your feelings and honor that person.
Definitely. I also really believe in the power of touch and having a therapeutic massage. I do believe that we store feelings of grief in the body, and that sometimes, whether it's through exercise or stretching or massage, it's really important to release that energy that we're holding in. So I would definitely recommend that as well.
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely feel like massage. And we also talk a lot on the show about acupuncture. In fact, last night we had an expert guest talking about acupuncture, and we also talked about the mental health benefits of acupuncture and how you can get some assistance and relief, even for things like grieving, by seeing an acupuncture or other body workers. So I think that there's it seems like there's a lot of resources to us, and yet when we're in the grieving process, we sometimes feel paralyzed.
It's so true. It can be paralyzing, and it can be difficult to function on a very basic level. And so that's why we need our loved ones to remind us of things like acupuncture, which I firmly believe in as well. And just do anything that we can to promote self-care, whether it's a bubble bath or meditation or some mindfulness practices to stay in the present. I definitely recommend for, you know, survivors as well as people who've experienced loss. I think it's so easy for all of us for our minds to go in the past and kind of second guess the past or to obsess or worry about the future. And peace can really be found in the present moment. And some mindfulness practices such as deep breathing or progressive muscle relaxation or meditation can really promote health and wellness during difficult times.
Yeah, it's so true. And now before we go to the break, we were talking about how a loved one can support someone who's grieving. And couldn't it be that if your loved one, you know that they like to garden and they're grieving, that maybe you could encourage them to come out to the garden, or they like to walk the dog, or they like to do certain things. Can the loved one of the grieving person be kind of proactive in that area?
It's a delicate dance. I think that's the intentions are great, and that is such a loving gesture. And we have to recognize that we don't understand how the person feels, and they may become defensive even about something that's intended to be positive. They may not feel well enough to garden and may feel stressed out or pressured by the gesture of suggesting that. So I think it's a little bit of a dance in terms of, you know, checking in with the person and offering things, and then also kind of stepping back when it's clear that they aren't interested in those things, and respecting where they're at.
Yeah, I think it's such a great point. I think that grief definitely impacts our relationships. I'd like to touch a little bit more on that when we come back. And when we come back, I also want to talk about counseling. Like, what can people expect, especially somebody who's never been to a counselor? What could they expect? So, you know what? It's time for our final break. But when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Joyce Martyr. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ladies, are you confused about hormones? You're not alone. Even scientists and doctors don't seem to agree on what to do about hormone imbalance. As we age, hormone production can fluctuate, impacting our cycle, PMS, skin, and even fertility. Hormone loss that naturally occurs as you approach menopause can impact bone, heart, and even mental health, not to mention make menopausal symptoms worse. Luckily, there is now an answer. Feminescence is the natural solution born out of 5 years of research and clinical trials. Feminescence does not introduce any hormones into your body. Rather, it nourishes your hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenal glands, naturally supporting your own production of all hormones. With a different product for each stage of a woman's life, you can find the Feminescence product that is right for you at naturalhi.com. That's naturalhi.com. Or ask for it by name at your local health food store.
Stress has become a part of our daily lives. We become sleep deprived and sapped of energy. Fortunately, there is a natural product that can help. L-theanine is a special amino acid found in green tea that helps us relax while keeping the brain alert and active. Tomorrow's Nutrition, Suntheanine, delivers 150 milligrams of L-theanine per capsule. Suntheanine has been clinically proven to reduce stress, improve focus, and help us sleep. For more information, visit tomorrowsnutrition.com. As a special bonus, listeners will receive 20% off any order by typing in 5 to Thrive when they check out at Tomorrow's Nutrition. Tomorrow's Nutrition and 5 to Thrive are a great combination. Don't forget the code 5 to Thrive at tomorrowsnutrition.com and get 20% off your order.
Green tea is good for us. It's a key part of the 5 to Thrive plan. What if you don't care for the taste of green tea? And with so many green tea supplements, how do you choose? No one wants to waste their money on a poor quality product, and I know I want organic to avoid the harmful toxins. That's why you should choose Sunfinen. Sunfinen from Tomorrow's Nutrition gives you the highest quality green tea possible, and they offer 100% satisfaction guarantee. They have confidence in the quality of all their products. As a special offer to 5 to Thrive listeners, Tomorrow's Nutrition will give you 20% off your order. Go to tomorrowsnutrition.com and type in the code 5 to Thrive when you check out, and you'll automatically receive 20% off your order. Get quality. Get results. Get Sunfinen Green Tea from Tomorrow's Nutrition. That's tomorrowsnutrition.com. And don't forget to type in the code 5 to Thrive to get 20% off your order.
I'm Carolyn Gazella, tonight's host, and I'm joined by licensed counselor Joyce Martyr. Now, Joyce, before the break, we were talking a little bit about relationships and you know, the survivor and the loved one of the person experiencing grief. And I'm just wondering, how does grief impact our relationships?
Oh my gosh, it impacts our relationships tremendously. You know, it's important to remember that we're all parts of a system. Like we're each part of a machine. And when one of us is going through something like cancer or grief, it affects the whole system. And all of these feelings that we've discussed, like sadness or anger or fear or anxiety or guilt, they get played out in the relationships. And each person, the survivor and the loved ones, are experiencing their own part of the journey, and it can be very, very stressful on a relationship, talking about the feelings, making decisions about treatment, making logistical decisions about day-to-day functioning and what needs to happen. Maybe there's financial stress that's involved, and all of this can really affect a relationship. And it's often common for somebody who's grieving to isolate. And so this can cause some disconnection in the relationship, or maybe they're not communicating and therefore there's some misunderstanding or miscommunication that's happening. And conflict can happen. There can be, you know, due to all of the stress, the anger and irritability are a normal part of this process. And people may find themselves, you know, arguing and then feeling guilty that they're arguing with their loved one who's dealing with cancer. So it can be very complicated.
Yeah, I mean, you've just described a real recipe for disaster. I mean, disconnection, miscommunication, conflict, anger. I mean, it's so true. And the other thing is we all grieve differently. I remember after my mom died, my nephews were really young at the time, and it was surprised me how polar opposite they were in how they coped with that loss. You know, one was very shut down and didn't want to talk, and, you know, and the other one just wanted to remember everything about her and describe everything and remember this and remember when she did this, and just those polar opposite styles can cause discomfort in the family unit, I think.
Absolutely. That's a really important insight that people experience grief differently and they express it differently, and that can cause some misunderstanding. And sometimes people experience it right away and they process it and they feel better, and other people might be traumatized and kind of numb or in shock for a period of time and don't fully process the loss until much later.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely true. So what can a survivor and their loved ones do to get the support they need?
Well, I think really assessing your support network, looking who is available to offer you help, I think is really, really important. I have a colleague who says we each have a different menu of services in terms of what we can provide for support. So looking at your support network and making sure that you have people who can help you on a logistical level, on an emotional level, and then beefing up your support network in areas that are weak. So looking at, you know, do you want to access some additional support from a therapist or a professional, even preventatively? I think oftentimes people make the mistake of thinking that they don't need that quite yet, and they wait until things get worse, when really therapy can be something proactive and preventative that can help you successfully navigate these waves of grief and loss.
You know, I think it's hard for people to be proactive because they look at therapy or counseling, and I'm going to make a generalized statement here, and I apologize, but that there's this stigma like, oh my gosh, there must be something wrong with me because I have to go see a therapist. So for them to do that proactively, even when they're not in crisis, I would think would be quite a big step.
It is a big step to seek therapy, and absolutely, unfortunately, there is still some stigma with seeking mental health services, but I do think that it's improving and that more and more people are recognizing that a therapist is really like a personal trainer for your mind, and that it's a regular and routine form of healthcare. I always say you don't have to be crazy or in crisis to seek therapy. I've been in therapy. I don't know what I would do without it. I think we all need it at different points in our lives, and it can help us grow emotionally and interpersonally in a really powerful way.
You know, I love that analogy of personal trainer, and I often will go to my acupuncturist and I'll say, yeah, nothing's wrong. I just need a little tune-up. And it's kind of the same with a therapist where, you know, well, I'm good to go, but it would be great to touch base with somebody. Is that kind of what you're saying?
It absolutely is. One of my best referral sources is a client who is so successful and happy in her career and in her relationships. And people ask her and say, you know, you're doing so great. How do you do it all? And she says, well, I have a great therapist. And she's referred a lot of people. And I love that model. It's a model of health that, you know, that therapy is something that can teach you new ways of looking at things or processing emotions or relationships. And it can be a true benefit. And you're right. It doesn't mean you're going to be in years and years of psychoanalysis or something. It's simply checking in and getting some support or getting a tune-up during a difficult time.
You know, it's such a good point, because with integrative healthcare, which is what the 5 to Thrive plan is all about and what Dr. Altshuler and I advocate and promote, we are trying to shift our healthcare system from a crisis care system and move it towards a health promotion, proactive, preventive type care system. So that's exactly what you're describing for our mental health.
Yes, I couldn't be more on board with that movement. I think it is so smart and just completely makes sense. And that is how I feel about therapy and mental health. I think we all can benefit from it at different points in our lives.
Well, I want you to take us through a therapy session, because there could be listeners out there who are kind of thinking about it, but they're a little intimidated. They don't know what to expect. It's hard for them to make that first move. What will happen if I come to you for the very first time and I want to talk about my grief issues?
Well, you know, when you come to a therapist, the offices are typically set up less like a business office and more like a comfortable living room. And you don't lay on a black couch like in the old, you know, Freud illustrations or something, but you know, sit on the couch, and the therapist is an objective professional that is there to support you. And you know, typically when a client comes in, I explain a bit about the process of therapy. I often tell people that our relationship is the foundation of therapy, and it's important that they feel safe and comfortable with me and that they feel like I'm understanding them. And I invite them to be direct and open with me about how they're feeling about me or their treatment. And I explain that it's important to think about coming at least once a week, if possible, for perhaps at least 12 weeks, for at least the basic beginning phase of treatment. And honestly, most people end up staying on beyond that because they find the benefit of it and they want to continue. I often explain that therapy is a little bit like cleaning out a messy closet. If you've ever had a closet that you've crammed a bunch of stuff into and you finally decide it's time to deal with it, the beginning phase is really information gathering, where the therapist is kind of helping you pull those things out of the closet. And it can be a little bit overwhelming or anxiety provoking in some way, to be truthful, in the beginning. I think sometimes clients come in for a first session and they talk about things like cancer that are very difficult, and they walk out and are confused as to why they don't immediately feel better. And it really is a process. Once we finish pulling all those things out of the closet, then we look at it. We figure out what's working, what's not working. We let go of some things. We reorganize until the person is feeling better and coping better. And then we decrease the visits, and you know, they can come back for tune-ups, like you said, whenever they want. Typical visits are 50 minutes, and it's confidential. And often therapy is covered by insurance. My practice, Urban Balance, is insurance-friendly. I'm very passionate about that. I think we should be able to use our insurance for mental health and counseling just like we do to see the dentist or the doctor. And it is covered by most plans. I think a lot of people don't understand that. They think that cost is going to be prohibitive. But for many insurance plans, they may pay anywhere from $15 to $45 a session. And the therapist basically gathers a psychosocial history. So they'll ask the person about their history, their family, about the history of cancer or whatever else they're dealing with. And then many therapists focus on strengths, so helping the client recognize their strengths and, you know, increase their self-esteem and become empowered. And we help them to think more positively. I definitely believe that our thoughts precede our emotions and our behaviors. And we all, as human beings, have tendencies to think negatively, especially when dealing with challenges and hardship. And so it's important to get support in retweaking our thinking to be more positive, to promote not only mental health, but physical health.
Yeah. So, and what about bringing partners or family members to the therapy session? When does that become appropriate?
Well, it's really up to the individual client. Some people really want their therapy to be their own private, separate space that's separate from all of the expectations of their other relationships. The beauty of a therapist is that they don't have any needs from the client, other than the client to show up and participate. So sometimes they really want to keep that time and space and relationship sacred and not involve the partner. If they do, it's entirely up to the client. And that can be incredibly useful to bring in a partner, or perhaps even see a different therapist for couples counseling or family counseling. But often either therapists will collaborate with each other to make sure that they're working on the same page, or if the couple and the individual client see the same therapist, the therapist will use kind of a systems approach to treat the relationship and the individual.
Yeah. And now we only have about a minute, but how can people find a qualified counselor and how can people find out more about you and your work?
Thank you for asking. I think a great website to find a good therapist is therapist.com. It's kind of like match.com for therapists, and you can look up a therapist near you and select somebody who specializes in grief or cancer. My own website is joyce-martyr.com, and I can be found on Facebook as Joyce Martyr LCPC and on Twitter at Joyce underscore martyr.
And martyr is M-A-R-T-E-R.
Yes, exactly. Not Y-R.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, you know what? This has been a terrific show, Joyce. Thank you so much for helping us with this difficult yet important topic. And I want to remind our listeners again that you can always find out more information about the guests that we're going to have on the show, our books. You can sign up for our Thrive Thoughts at our website, 5tothriveplan.com. And a great way to stay connected with us is on Facebook or Twitter. And just type in 5 to Thrive and you will find us. So enjoy the rest of your evening and may you experience joy, laughter, and love. It's time to thrive, everyone. Have a great night.